Let's get to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance podcast.
I still have to get used to that new jingle. It's actually really nice. So this is the first time we actually use this jingle. It's a new reflection introduction of the podcast. My name is Ruben Ron, in studio with Nina. And of course, our special guest, Nikki Elizabeth. How are you doing?
Hi, Ruben. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well.
That's good to hear. We just had a very nice lunch and now we are going to talk about you. First of all, the first question I always ask is the most essential one. What made you decide to become a DJ, or what made you fall in love with music?
Wow, deep.
Thank you.
So I've always loved music. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Amsterdam, I fell in love with the nightlife scene here.
And because you're from the south of the Netherlands?
I am. I'm originally from the south of the Netherlands. Then I moved to Belgium, where I grew up, mm-hmm. Until my 17 years old. Then I moved to Amsterdam. So the nightlife from Amsterdam is quite different from Belgium, in my opinion.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah. And I went to a techno party for the first time in my life. And that's where I really fell in love with electronic music. Mm-hmm. And it was also, at one point I thought it was a phase. It's been a very long phase. I don't think it's going to end very soon. And at one point I had some friends who were DJing as well. And I thought, maybe I can try this as well. I really love music and I always was like always searching for new tracks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it never really struck me that also I could be a DJ.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of went with it. And from like very slow stages, I started playing at clubs and first it was friends' parties. And then it was like a club night for the first time. And I started working at the Markantine, which is, they closed now, but it was a very...
very iconic venue in Amsterdam, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I played there once and then they offered me a residency, which was very nice.
You left a good impression then.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you were born in the south of the Netherlands, then you moved to Belgium. And then in that period of time before you moved to Amsterdam, before you went to Amsterdam, were you already listening to dance music? Like, I don't know, to commercial dance music or to whatever.
I was really, the clubs in Antwerp, they were very EDM oriented. So I would go out in the weekends and listen to that kind of music. Well, I also didn't say I lived in Switzerland for 1 year in between.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to high school there for 1 year. And there I actually, I did some music stuff. So I was singing in high school.
Okay. So that's where the how do you say it? The music creation part started.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. Yes. I do remember that I really, because we also had to produce things mm-hmm. in high school. I found it very difficult. Yeah. It was just, I think for me to be able to express myself musically, you first have to sort of be okay with yourself and mm-hmm. like accept for who you are. And I don't think I really did that at that period in time. So that's why the production for me came in a later stage.
Yeah.
After the DJing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, to be honest. So you went to Amsterdam, you started clubbing. That's when you fell in love with, I guess it was more techno kind
of
things back
techno.
Then?
Yeah, more techno. My first party ever was Awakenings at the Gashouder. Yeah.
Was a bit of a contrast then with the clubs in Belgium.
It was. I dove in head first. Yeah.
For some people it might scare people. It might scare you away if
I
you go to a party like that.
It was also, I told Joris once, I think he was playing that night.
Joris Vorn.
Yeah, Joris Vorn. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least that's still the, how do you say it, the more sunny side of things, you know, sunny side of music.
It was
because the end of the night at Awakenings is something else.
Well, that was, like when I got introduced to Awakenings, that was the minus era. So there were a lot of bleeps and blobs.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers.
Yeah. Oh my God, the minimal side of things.
The minimal techno stuff. Very funny.
But at least it brought you where you were right now.
It really did.
You started DJing, you already mentioned Markantine. You had your own night. It was called Opal, right?
Yeah, I did. It was a short-lived... event, I would say. It was very fun, but the Mark Cantina, they were doing so extremely well.
Yeah.
And they just decided to just focus on their own nights. And yeah, I was like also, my music was going quite well with my own stuff and I didn't really want to focus on organizing more parties at that point.
Yeah. And the funny thing is because a lot of people in the Netherlands, they already know you because you've played at so many festivals and clubs in the Netherlands and they were like, okay, it's time to step up. It's time to start making my own music.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start creating your own music? When did you figure out that you, okay, if you want to make the next step, I need to start making music, or how did it go?
I think it was about 6 years ago.
Okay.
How did it go? I've always had this like feeling that I really wanted to create things.
Mm-hmm.
And but what I said before, I also kind of blocked, I've constantly felt blocked. So I would go into the studio and sit down and be like, okay, well, what now? And I think also if you've been DJing and making music, or well, listening to a lot of music for quite some time, then you have a certain like standard, which you already want to reach, also creates a lot of mental pressure because everything that you do does not absolutely not sound like that.
Very true. And you want to create something that you can play in your
own
sets.
Exactly. And or just create something that you actually like, which is very difficult in the beginning. So I ended up working on, I competed in Finalize. I'm not sure if you know that, which I won in 2017, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
a really massive competition, right?
It's like the for like beginning producers, I think the biggest competition in the Netherlands. And that was the first track I ever finished. So it was a bit, I worked on it a really long time. It's like all the time I produced was in that track. And then afterwards I started like, I continued producing, and really during the COVID period, that's where I actually stepped up my game. But then before that, I think, I'm not sure when I had like the compact release, but that was like, I don't know, 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I think, right.
Like when it all started.
When it all started, really.
It all went down south.
Yeah. the beginning of the trance era for Nikki Elizabeth. the compact EP was also like,
Celeste NC.
Yes. They were among the first tracks I ever finished as well. So it was, my strategy was to just work so long on one project until it sounded like something.
But it's to me, to be honest, when I went through, I did some research, of course, and I'm quite amazed that, so the first time you do your DJ sets, you get offered a residency. The first time you produce a track, you win a competition. And one of the first tracks that you ever finish and send to a label is one of the biggest labels in the world. You get it signed straight away.
Yeah.
What is the magic? What is the secret behind all of this?
Super lucky mofo. No, I honestly, I don't know. I think it's the dedication and the amount of, I put so much love and thought, and it's always when you really, the things I do, I really do with a lot of passion and love, and I'm very perfectionist and very, before I do something, there is like months of reflection that go beforehand. And then I suddenly feel like it's like, this is the right choice. This is what I have to do. This is the path I have to take.
So it's a combination of patience and, how do you say it, persistency.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I think knowing when the time is right and when to catch your next train and when to wait.
So sometimes, so if you look back at, because I find it's very interesting what you're saying right now, because a lot of people are like starting to make music, create something, and even without asking your friends or whatever, just send it to a label straight away. And that's already, sometimes you already burn a bridge by just sending something mediocre to a big label. So next time they're going to be like, hey, I know you're not a good producer, so I'm not going to listen to it anymore. So what you're saying is that you have to work on something and maybe delete something, or not finish something, and then really go with something that you really, really love and you really think that's really good enough, and then you send it over.
Well, that's at least what I've been doing.
But how do you decide where you are? How do you decide that moment that you're like, hey, now it's the time?
Well, I can tell you an anecdote about, because the same thing actually also happened with my Anjuna Deep EP. Mm-hmm. I sent them two tracks and we signed both of them. And yeah, also with the album now, there is like not a single track that I've ever sent them that they were like, we don't want that. Yeah. So the tracks Fading and Sun, I've already had them like at the phase where they are, where when I sent them to Anjuna Deep, they were already done like months. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with them. And then I left them in my Ableton project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just sitting there.
The unfinished folder.
The unfinished between brackets, because they were sort of finished, but I couldn't let them go yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took a very long drive because I had a show in Luxembourg. And I was just on the road for hours and I thought, okay, well, what is the next step? Like, where do I want to go? And I never really thought about releasing on Anjuna Deep. It wasn't a label that was like, I wasn't really sure where I wanted to release anyways. And I spoke to a couple of friends about it and we had many conversations just in general going on and just bouncing off ideas. And suddenly it hit me that the music in the end fits best with Anjuna Deep, mm-hmm. and that I think the right choice for a track to where to put it is also what kind of potential the label in combination with the music gives, like the synergy to what you're putting out.
Very true. It puts an extra identity on top of it.
Yeah. Exactly. So I called my manager at the time and I said, okay, I'm just going to send them. And then when I came home after this 5-hour drive, I just hit up Dan from like the A&R from Anjuna Deep. And I messaged him like, hey, can I send you some demos? And I actually spoke to him last week and he told me that when I said that to him, he thought, oh my God, it's finally happening.
Really?
So, yeah.
So they were expecting you to send something.
Yeah, he had already reached out in like before that.
Okay.
But I wasn't ready to let go of those tracks yet.
That's interesting. Was it because you didn't think that you were ready for sending it or the label wasn't ready for receiving it?
I think I was, before I make a decision, which is, I think choosing on which music you want to release your, choosing on which label you want to release your music is, it kind of creates, it's a new path you're taking. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that if you want to go left or right, you pick the right path that leads you to your end goal.
Mm-hmm.
So before I decide which way I want to go, I first want to be sure that I'm not going to walk into a dead end for my personal career then.
Yeah. So I'm curious then, what is the end goal when you sign something over to a label? Like, what do we have? Or is it your own expectations or is it your own, is it goals? So,
I'm not 100% sure if I understand the question, but
what I'm meaning is it's something. So let's say you send a track to a certain label and you want to, so you create a goal for yourself. So if I send it to that label, I want to play those parties or something like that. Are you putting certain expectations on that action that you send the track to a label?
Yeah. Well, sort of. I think, for me personally, it's my music is also a reflection of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And also the brands you work with, they kind of start to be part of your personality. Mm-hmm. So I first had to know who I was before I could decide which brands would fit me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason why I chose to send my music to Anjuna in the end was because I felt that it would reach the audience that would be most appreciative, mm-hmm. of what I created. So in that sense, I do think about where to send it.
You're just not sending it off like, hey guys, release it, good luck.
No, it's for me, it's kind of like you have to, it's like a relationship, you know, it's mm-hmm. not only one person that has to feel that. It's both of the parties wanting things equally done. So, yeah.
That's that makes a lot of sense. And now the other side of things, because I'm not sure if you experienced this, because it's very easy to say like, hey, I could choose this home for my music or whatever. But in general, 99% of the people that have that idea in mind, they send a track to, for example, Unjundeep, and it gets rejected. What do you do then?
Yeah, I'm not very experienced in that field.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think, of course, I was already very lucky that they had reached out to me beforehand. I think if it gets rejected, it obviously gets rejected for a good reason.
Yeah.
Because it, like, the label A&R knows best what fits the label and what doesn't. It's also possible that they're very busy and they just don't reply. So just try again, I would say, in that case. But I think if it gets rejected, you should always ask why and see if they have the time to respond and give you feedback on that, or just speak to other people in the music industry and ask them, why do you think this is not reaching that end goal?
Mm-hmm.
And I also know for a fact that some labels, they only, it's not all about the music. It's all also about how can they market you? How are you playing any gigs? Is there, because in the end, your music is also there, like it's also a product in for their business.
Yeah.
So if they put it out, and if they put work and time in it, then they also want to make revenue and also want to like make their business grow better. So if they don't see that potential, which is maybe sometimes that doesn't have anything to do with the music, then there are other areas where you can grow before you try again.
That's very good advice. So maybe sometimes before you send a demo, you have to have the patience already to maybe wait 2 months, even more, and perfection your track. But also in the meantime, make sure that maybe your social media, maybe your appearance fits a little bit better to the label that you want to be part of.
Absolutely. I think right now, being an artist is not just a person who...
No, you're a brand.
A brand. Yeah. It's a 360 thing. And I think for me, well, obviously, like it's not only about hard work and talent in if you want to say that, or it's also connections and being at the right place at the right time and a little bit of luck, and it's all those parts that, like, put together that make sure that your career kind of takes off or not. And yeah, there are, of course, extraordinary stories of people only being a DJ or only being a producer or having that one big hit that make it. But I don't think that is the case for the...
And it's not sustainable, because if it's one hit, you come up and you go down straight away as well.
Yeah.
Very, very good advice. Thank you.
Oh,
No, it's amazing.
Good
that's nice to hear. You already told it a few times, talking about branding. You were already packaging your new brand into several answers already. Reflection,
yeah,
which is not a coincidence, because right now you're in the studio. We're also having Reflection.
Amazing.
So tell us about your sides of things with Reflection. What are your plans?
So I'm going to tell you where the name comes from first.
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, a really big part of my musical journey is just me thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of thinking,
sometimes a bit too much, but yeah, that's just the way I process things. So for me, Reflection was on one side, a very, an outward thing of my, like, what's going on behind this face.
Yeah, yeah.
And also because I've always, like, I really love, like, reflective stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like a mental thing and musical thing, and also...
The pretty lights
and also disco outfits and disco balls.
Mm-hmm. So it's the both sides of the... of the word, of the meaning. Yeah.
It's everything, basically.
And that's it's going to be a night that you're organizing.
Yeah, correct.
Tell us about it.
So the first edition is next month on the 25th of February at Atelier, which is a club here in Amsterdam. It's also run by a very good friend of mine. So it's for me, it kind of feels like after Marcantina closed, which was kind of my home for many years, I fell into this hole because there was not really a home for me anymore here in Amsterdam nightlife. So when my friend Will started working at this club, it was an instant yes for me to start doing my own event there. The reason why I really wanted to start my own parties is because I've always, like every event you play, you probably also know, you're always kind of finding middle ground between what you want to do and what the event asks for and what the audience wants. And I think at this party, I'm going to be able to show people a side of me that is completely unfiltered, that is just going to be a straight reflection of how I actually feel.
Okay. And
I think that's just a very, for me, like as an artist, my biggest fear is to be boxed in. If I would have to constantly compromise because I've developed into a brand where people only expect a certain thing and that I kind of have to keep being in that position. Mm-hmm. Like the most, what creates happiness for me in life is constantly improving and discovery. And for me, reflection is that.
And how are you going to translate that into a night? Are you going to play a DJ set from open to close, or are you playing a special set? Or
so I'm going to play. I'm not going to play a very long set. It's just going to be me on closing, and what I'm going to do, I have no idea. So it's just as much as a surprise for you as it is for me, and I think that's the beauty in it, that I'm not kind of. I'm collecting new music loads now, and instead of thinking, oh, this is like someone who's playing before me, am I matching what the vibe of the night wants? I'm just going to play absolute bangers that I found in the last couple of months and just go for it.
I love that, because that makes you a DJ's DJ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in the day of age that we are right now, I guess sometimes, to be honest, I have to say to them, part of that as well, that I have to play an hour set, for example, and then you have the expectation of the fans that you play your music only. Sometimes I can only play two tracks that aren't created myself, because otherwise you get the messages afterwards, hey, why didn't you play this or this or this or this? But I 100% agree with what you're saying, because it's so much nicer that you go into a venue, you feel the vibe, you feel the tracks that will fit, and you adjust your sets to it. That's what you're doing for reflection.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And also, is there going to be a dress code?
No.
No reflective outfits? No.
Okay, if you come in a reflective outfit, you absolutely get a discount at the door.
I love it. All right. Well, I can't. Yeah, well, 25th of February.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
In the Atelier in Amsterdam. So.
Please, we have to double check.
Check the socials. Nick Elizabeth everywhere. I also have a couple of questions that were submitted through Instagram, Twitter, starting with 3 for 3 2 3. What was your first performance? Do you still remember that?
Oh, yes. I think it was at Club Up, I think, for friends of mine it was like a very, very small club in Amsterdam.
Did you practice at home before that, or were you already DJing? Or
I think also for me, like, there is not one thing where I really can clearly remember this was my first performance, because it was always a bit at friend parties, and then it morphed into friends doing small parties at clubs. So it's,
and what is really your performance?
Yeah.
If I have to go, if I had this question, then I also have two answers, to be honest, because when this is going to sound stupid, but when I was, I think 12 years old, we had a party in the garage of a friend of mine. We had one stereo with one CD player, and no one was taking care of the music. So what I did, I opened the CD, put it in a CD, found a track and played it. And that's what I did the whole night. And that's basically your first show then, when you think about it.
It kind of is. Oh, DJ Lord. CD.
Anyways, I never shared that before, so that's the first.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Yeah. Next question. Stijn, when are you going to drop the remix of It's Gonna Be You?
Oh, yeah, the You and Me remix. Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay.
It's I'm so sorry I can't answer that question because I really want it to be released as well. We are working.
No one's listening, so you can share it. It's
okay.
Fine.
We are working on clearing it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
So to be continued.
To be continued, but we are trying very hard. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So to be continued. Elena 69 Luca always has good questions. She writes, "What genre do you like the most?" Ooh. Is there any genres left? That's another question, maybe.
Question. I honestly find it very difficult to put music into genres. Like, obviously, you have the big genres, but I think that my sets, every track I play, or almost every track I play, is sort of a bit of a different genre. So I can't really pick one. It's just, for me, the music I really like has more to do with sound instead of, very specific types of instruments that I used, or I have like a very big, some sort of pads or something, or chord progressions. If they use, I'm just like, nah, straight. Like
the goosebumps.
Goosebumps or not.
I guess it's melodic. That's
it's
what
melodic,
it is. And if it has a good melody, if it has a good vibe, then it's good, you know?
Yeah.
I think we moved beyond genres right now, because also when I checked your Instagrams, for example, on one side, on Tomorrowland, you play the deeper stuff.
Yeah.
But also when you play a sweaty club, at 4 in the morning, you play Zomination.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when it fits and the crowd goes off. So I think that's awesome. Fadi Insulet is also trans related. Which trans artist is the most inspiring to you at the moment? And what is your favorite trans classic?
Ooh, I find this very difficult. I'm not very well versed in the trans universe. I think I'm quite new to it. Apparently there is like a track that I play a lot now, which is from Romy and Fred Again, which is a trans track. So I would say Strong is one I really like. But it wasn't a classic, right? Maybe Age of Love?
That's definitely 100% trans classic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Age of Love.
Yeah. Claimed by techno. But that's a good one, Age of Love. The last question, and I don't know, this is going to be a hard one for you. Alice Alant wants to know which anthem of a state of trance would you remix? So let's say, which classic would you ever remix?
Okay.
Let's keep it on that. Besides Age of Love, that's too easy.
Okay.
If you dig back into all these years of collecting music, and which track do you always come back to?
I think there is one, and it's called Kazmira, Let Me Show You.
Oh yeah.
I really love that
release
track.
Release on Mobis.
Yeah, I really love that track. So I think that would be my choice.
That's a good one. I think actually the rights are with Armada of that track. So
hey,
maybe you can do something with that.
I think there are so many more old school trance tracks that are like, because the production levels are so incredibly high right now and everything is mastered so loudly, that if you would rework it and put some like fresh drums and things on it,
good
master chain would be very, very nice.
Yeah.
Then it could tear clubs apart right now.
And that's what actually is happening, to be honest. I want to, because we're already talking way too long on this, but there's still one thing I want to address, because there's one unique thing that that you have that I wish I had. That's a good singing voice.
Oh, thank you.
When I listen to your tracks, especially the EP on Anjuna, that you're singing on it, how did you come about doing that? Was it something because you couldn't find a singer that you were like, hey, I need a singer? Well, maybe I could try myself.
So there was the past where I sang in high school a bit. I think I just really love singing, even though there was a time where I was very, very bad at it. It's just something I very much enjoy. I feel the voice is such a, it stands so close to who we are as a person. It's something that is so unique to you that no one can ever imitate. Yeah. And for me, using that instrument feels very liberating. And I feel like I'm very, I can really express myself through my voice.
Yeah. Yeah. But then putting it on your own tracks.
Yeah.
That's next level. That's because you make yourself very vulnerable.
Yeah.
By writing your stuff and putting it on your music.
Yeah. It is very vulnerable. I played a track today where it was more at the beginning of when I started to sing, and I was like, oh wow, I really did get better. So it was, let's just say that in the beginning, I was very happy that I was also a producer, which made me cover up a lot of poor singing in my music. And
that's my hope.
Yeah, yeah. Auto-tune is king.
Yeah, very true.
And it's. I think for me, it all started during COVID when there were like no dance floors, and I was like, I actually want to make music that I also enjoy listening to at home, because for me, music is very situational. That's we're coming back to, I play Zomination, yeah, but also I play Fading. And for me, being at home, stuck, sort of having to, I would not play Celeste or Say, which are quite clubby tracks for me. And I just wanted to be able to make music that I would enjoy listening to at home, but which I could still play in a club setting.
Yeah.
And that's how the Njuna Deep EP also came to being, and also the singing part.
Awesome. And the album is coming as well later this year.
The album is coming, guys. Yay.
How far are you in already?
It's very close. I think I'm at 85%. Yeah, I still have to write some top lines. There has like some vocals have to be re-sang. But most of the productions are all there. All the tracks are, they have their spine, let's say.
Okay. All right. Well, when you say 85%, I'm just thinking, oh, that's far from done. Because the last percent, the 99%, that's fine. But the last percent.
Well, then.
Is when you go back to the tracks that you made half a year ago. You're like, oh, it was so bad.
Yeah,
have to do it again.
No, this is an actual 85%.
Okay.
Also calculated the last 50%, 15% is like, it's actually 15%. So we have to get it mixed, mastered. Yeah. That's not, I'm going to like have someone
do I always
that.
Do it as well. It's a total different profession.
Yeah,
mastering
exactly.
Is something else. Yeah.
I'm going to sit next to them and be like, oh, can you make my vocal sparkle a bit more?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's that. And now it's just making the drums a bit like more crisp, or writing the melody for a top line. So like it's small stuff, which is, I think, for me, a couple of weeks work, and then the mixing, mastering, then it's done, and then end of the year.
Awesome. I can't wait. Like I can, because when I was listening to your set today, especially Celeste, that's something that I could even play in early sets as well. So that's, I'm definitely going to pick that up. So thank you so much, Nick Elizabeth, for answering all these questions, for dropping by. We are recording also a nice little guest mix, which we're going to put on the State of Trance 24/7 channel. Is there something you want to add at the end?
Well,
anything you want to share?
Thank you so much for inviting me and embracing my music, even though I heard it's maybe a bit different from what you guys usually do.
Different is good. 100%.
Well, thank you so much, Ruben and Nina.
Yeah. All right. But thank you so much for dropping by for this State of Trance podcast. Next week, Ferry's going to be in the studio, so we won't have a podcast, but Andrea Yell is going to be talking about his album. So that's going to be the next State of Trance podcast. If you have any questions, drop them here in the comment section, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance podcast.